People have wanted to take over the world for centuries. You could probably trace the idea of a world government back to the Garden of Eden, if you had the time and the energy. But in practical terms, I think the evil plan for a global reset, a new normal, can really be traced back to 1909, when it was first suggested that it was far easier to control people if you have a good, long war going on. This was long before George Orwell, of course. We can then jump to 1932, when people at Columbia University had the idea of introducing energy as a new currency. They came up with the word technocracy, and the idea that the world would be a much better place if it were run by scientists. The technocrats wanted to abolish private property and change education so that it merely prepared students for the work that had been selected for them by people who knew better. This nonsense gave Aldous Huxley the idea for his novel Brave New World. And then we jump to 1961, when a bunch of Kennedy administrator insiders, most of them Bilderbergers, unearthed the old idea of using war to keep the people under control. After much thought, however, they created a twist on that idea. They thought it would be a damn good wheeze to create massive worldwide pollution and then blame the citizens of the world for the mess and make them clear it up. If you're beginning to get the idea, you know where this is going, you're right, you do. The next things that happened were the formation of the Club of Rome in 1968 and the formation of the World Economic Forum in 1971, though it wasn't called that then. The Club of Rome was formed by a mixture of United Nations administrators and rich businessmen, the World Economic Forum, who hold that silly beano in Davos every year. In 1976, there was another move towards what we now know as Agenda 21. The United Nations decided to take control of the world's land and to control the world's population. The plan, created by a bunch of unelected interfering bozos, was to put the rights of the community over the rights of the individual. This used to be called communism, but they dreamt up the name communitarianism, which is as much fun to spell as it is to say. Things moved quickly after that. In 1980, they invented the idea of sustainable development, two words that ought to strike terror into the hearts of anyone who cares about people, the world, integrity, respect, and the environment. And in 1983, they set up a commission to prepare us all for a new world order. For the best part of a decade, they were still all fumbling around like teenage boys at a dance. And then in 1991, the Club of Rome, which you'll remember if you've been paying attention, decided that they needed to find a new way to motivate and distract the masses. They dug around and, with a total lack of imagination, came up with global warming. Now, global warming had been toyed with as a threat since the 19th century, but every time anyone had suggested that the planet was getting hotter, it quickly became apparent that the idea was a load of rubbish, because it wasn't. The Club of Rome put a twist on this old bit of nonsense. They said it was all our fault because we'd caused the global warming, which in fact wasn't there any more than it had been in Queen Victoria's day. And then in 1992, the United Nations held a conference in Brazil, and Agenda 21 was born. This was the real start of communitarianism and the beginning of the end of individualism. Before you could say Tony Blair or Bill Clinton or even Al Gore in a DVD, which would get 3 out of 10 for accuracy, the world was set to change. Loads of big hitters came in at this point. Prince Charles, son of Queen Elizabeth, and famous mostly for having large ears and talking to plants, was one of those who saw this as a quick way to become terribly important and a world-class hypocrite. Charles spent most of the following decades flying around the world in private aeroplanes, telling people that they mustn't fly around the world in aeroplanes. It was clear that there was a ton of money to be made out of carbon trading, a completely nonsensical piece of chicanery which changed absolutely nothing except the size of the bank balances of the people running the carbon trading scam. They planned to dumb down education, close all small companies, empty rural areas, force people to live in tower blocks in smart cities, and shut down farms. Food would be grown in laboratories, which would in due course end up being owned by people like Bill Gates. It was also agreed that it was necessary to force the simple-minded citizens to learn how to take orders and to become compliant slaves. And so recycling was invented. It didn't matter that all the freshly washed yogurt cartons ended up being transported to countries thousands of miles away to be burnt or buried. The recycling wasn't the point. This was all about compliance. In America, the events of 9/11 enabled the US to create some wonderfully oppressive new laws, and bits and pieces of terrorism around the world helped other countries do the same. The threat of weapons of mass destruction enabled politicians to take away whatever privacy and freedom we had left, and diseases were used as threats too. AIDS and all those funny influenzas were such a threat that we all had to change our lives and accept orders from those who decided they were our betters. Regionalization was brought in as a first step towards globalization, and lovely, well-built 19th century houses were knocked down because they didn't fit into 21st century building regulations. The big, well-built old houses were replaced with crappy apartment buildings and tacky little houses made out of cardboard, which did satisfy the building regulations. Cars were targeted as being bad for the environment, and we were all told that we had to stop using fossil fuels and start living on sunshine and wind. Since neither of these provided enough electricity to give everyone a lit light bulb, governments started chopping down trees, chopping them up, calling the result biomass, and burning it. Anyone objecting to what was clearly the beginnings of a huge scam was dismissed as a conspiracy theorist and publicly shamed and demonising. Rural living was made damn near impossible by letting roads go to ruin, by ruining water supplies, and by introducing wild animals into country areas. The banks decided they'd get rid of cash and replace it with a digital system. Billionaires worked out ways to change the temperature, control the weather, and force us to eat laboratory-made food. Psychologists were hired to brainwash us all. The police were pushed into demonizing themselves as well as us. ID cards and microchips were promoted as a really good thing, and there was much talk of the need to depopulate the world. And that all took us up to the start of 2020. But they still needed something else with which to control us. They needed something they could use to terrify us and force us to do as we were told. You can fill in the rest yourself. Thanks for watching An Old Man in a Chair, and thanks for all your support. Although it may feel like it at times, please remember that you're not alone. More and more people are waking up. If we're going to win this war, then we have to fight hard with passion and determination. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair.